Gildan Media, a division of Recorded Books, presents Big Data Revolution, what farmers, doctors, and insurance agents teach us about discovering big data patterns, by Rob Thomas and Patrick McSherry, narrated by Matthew Josdahl. Prologue. Berkeley, 1930s. George Dantzig sat in his dorm room, contemplating the next 24 hours and what it would mean for his future. He came to the University of California, Berkeley, with many aspirations. But as often happens, life got in the way, and his best-laid plans turned into dreams for another day. As he gazed over the building immediately in the foreground, he could see Sather Tower on Berkeley's campus, known for resembling Campanile di San Marco in Venice. George reassured himself that one of his major goals was still in his grasp. He could still earn a position on the faculty, providing an opportunity to teach the next group of eager students. It was 3 p.m., and George had until 8 a.m. the next morning to prepare for what would become his defining exam at Berkeley. A passing grade virtually guaranteed his spot on the faculty. Anything less than his best, and his future would be once again uncertain. This was the kind of motivator that got him to reopen the books and apply himself throughout the night. The last time George looked up from his book, he saw 3 a.m. on the clock and decided he should get some rest. As the sunrise slowly emanated around his room, George opened one eye and then the other, immediately wondering why he had not heard his alarm yet. He figured it must be an exceptionally clear day for that type of light to be coming through his eyelids before the 7:15 a.m. alarm that he set. Suddenly, George felt like something was not right, sat straight up in bed, grabbed his glasses, and looked at the clock. 8:30 a.m. The exam began 30 minutes ago. George quickly pulled on his pants and dashed for the door. George sprinted into the exam hall, where the professor greeted him with a surprised look. Obviously, the professor concluded that George must be in the hospital, or perhaps even dead, to have missed the start of the exam. George, in a rushed voice, explained the situation as his professor handed him the exam. He also noted, "George, there are 3 additional problems that I have written on the board once you complete the questions on the exam paper." George, without any minutes to waste, sat in the front row and quickly started working through the questions. The exam was set for 3 hours, so when George arrived at 8:50 a.m., many of the students were nearly halfway through with the questions. 2 hours later, as the clock approached 11 a.m., George finished the last question on the paper exam and shifted his attention to the 3 questions on the board. George was the only student left in the hall, and clearly he would not have a chance to finish. He sheepishly walked up to his professor, re-explained the situation, and apologized that he did not have the time to answer the questions on the board. In an unexpected act, his professor offered to let George have until midnight to try to complete the additional questions, and George excitedly ran back to his dorm room. It was now 3 p.m., over 24 hours since he reflected on his future in his dorm room. George made progress on one of the questions, but decided to give up on the others. He spent the next 8 hours grinding on the first question, feeling confident that he had conquered the problem, and set out across campus to turn in his single answer. His disappointment was obvious in his posture. While he felt a great sense of accomplishment on one question, he knew that providing only one answer out of 3 would not be sufficient. George slid the paper under his professor's door, grabbed a small bite at the campus cafeteria, and collapsed into his bed at 1 a.m. George was awakened by the shrill sound of his phone at 7 a.m., and he heard his professor on the line. "George, I can't believe it. You actually solved one of the equations on the board. This is truly an historic day." George, confused by what he was hearing, asked his professor to explain his amazement. His professor replied, "George, when I handed out the test, I told the class that I wrote 3 unsolvable equations on the board. I expected anyone with extra time to play around with them, but they weren't actually part of the test. You accomplished something that the rest of us knew was impossible. It's amazing what we can accomplish when we are not encumbered by what we believe is possible. It turns out that George had solved an algorithm around linear programming, which eventually became the simplex algorithm, the heart of Microsoft Excel's solver function. If George had arrived on time to the exam hall and heard his professor tell the class to try to solve the unsolvable problems, he probably would have never accomplished this feat. He was not limited by what the world felt was impossible. Pattern recognition. In most great detective stories, the author typically uses a signature act or prop. The robber or murderer, either intentionally or unintentionally, leaves a signature mark at the scene of a crime. The detectives in pursuit do not notice it at first, but eventually come to see a pattern. Often, it's about observing a non-obvious relationship between 2 data points, which leads to the recognition of a pattern. The conclusion? Insight can be found anywhere and hides in patterns. But are patterns valuable only to Sherlock Holmes and his contemporaries? Patterns exist everywhere we look. However, it is the actual recognition of the pattern that can truly impact the world in which we live. When studying highly successful people, whether they're athletes or successful business professionals, Malcolm Gladwell argues in his best-selling book, Outliers, that by studying the patterns of these individuals, we begin to understand that the environment from which they come from directly correlates to the amount of success they will have in life. By looking at hidden patterns of these individuals' upbringings, the month they were born, or the culture in which they were raised, we can predict whether they will reach their full potential, or perhaps fall short. The same can be said for data. By capturing and analyzing data, we can find patterns that will ultimately impact the future of industries and businesses. Often, observing a non-obvious relationship between 2 data points leads to the recognition of a pattern. The conclusion: insight can be found anywhere and hides in patterns. Nelson Peltz. Nelson Peltz's coffee mug on his desk reads "Sales up, expenses down" on one side, with "Cash is king" on the other. These mantras helped him to build an $8.5 billion partnership focused on activist investing, one of the largest such partnerships in existence today. However, this was not handed to him. Peltz built this partnership through his ability to see, understand, and apply patterns across a variety of businesses. Born in 1942 in Brooklyn, New York, Peltz worked his way through early school years and eventually decided to attend the Wharton School at the University of Pennsylvania. He dropped out a couple years later, in 1963, and set off to be a ski instructor. When that did not work out, he returned home to drive a delivery truck for his grandfather's company, A. Peltz & Sons. Eventually, he was given the reins to the company, Flagstaff, and grew it into a publicly held company. While Nelson did not finish a formal education, his on-the-job learning taught him all he would need to know later in his life. In the 1980s, Nelson reunited with a former business partner from Flagstaff, Peter May, and they went on a hunting expedition, looking for companies to acquire, grow, and eventually sell. His first marked success was the sale of Triangle Industries to Pechiney in 1988. Nelson began to notice the value of spotting patterns in the operations of the companies that he acquired or considered acquiring. Eventually, Trian Fund Management was founded and still exists today. He became a force advocating for change and was an activist investor before the term was en vogue. But how did he do it? Peltz believes that most activist investors and private equity companies focus on financial engineering. While that can make a difference in many cases, it gets you only so far. Very few individuals possess the insight to improve business operations, which is where you can drive substantial returns. And in Peltz's view, improving business operations requires identifying and understanding patterns, and then acting on them. To drive meaningful insight out of patterns, Peltz consciously, or unconsciously, focused much of his investment in two sectors, consumer packaged goods and food. With a focused competence, he can better compare and contrast patterns of performance. He believes in constantly assessing companies in his area of competence and looking at their strengths and weaknesses against the best performers in the industry. A sampling of the patterns that he looks for include ratios, percent of sales spent on marketing, overhead, growth in overhead versus growth in sales, rebates and allowances, deals and allowances paid to retailers, brand. He favors companies that have strong brands, but also have ratios that are out of line with the best performers. Peltz believes that it's a more effective use of capital to revitalize previously great brands than to try to build a new one. This is why he began to take an active interest in Heinz and Wendy's. Heinz. When Peltz began analyzing H.J. Heinz Company in 2005, it was an immediate fit to his pattern-focused investing style. He saw a company with brand value and strong free cash flow, yet the total shareholder returns trailed the S&P 500, the large-cap food index, and the mid-cap food index. But why? He observed that Heinz's selling, general, and administrative, SG&A, expenses, as a percent of revenue, was dramatically higher than the best comparable performers. The advertising investment as a percent of revenue was also out of line. Next, he noticed that the rebates and allowances being paid to retailers were much higher than the amounts paid by other organizations in its peer group. In his mind, that money could be put into marketing and product innovation instead of lining the pockets of the retail channel. He noticed that plant efficiency metrics also trailed the best performers. Lastly, he highlighted the fact that all of Heinz's businesses were operating at margins in excess of the company average, indicating that the overhead at headquarters was crippling the business. All the patterns that he had learned to watch for over time were present at Heinz. Wendy's. Wendy's, like Heinz, demonstrated a pattern of underperformance versus its peer group. In the case of Wendy's, through a ratio analysis, Peltz could see that margins were unacceptably low, 10 percentage points below its peer group, and driven by excessive overhead and operating costs. Next, Wendy's lost its focus on brand strength, as it had diversified into other food categories, like Tim Hortons Cafe and Bake Shop in Canada. Different company, same patterns. While it seems simple to observe after the fact, these were new insights, previously unnoticed at the time. Peltz has gone on to advocate for similar change in the likes of Cadbury Schweppes, Kraft Foods, Snapple Beverage Corp, PepsiCo, and many others. All these companies fell within his core competence, all assessed against the same set of patterns, and each one was driving value for Peltz, his investors, and the investors in those companies. In the last few years, the assets under management at Trian increased from $3.7 billion in 2012 to $6.3 billion in 2013 to $8.5 billion in the most recent report. The power of being able to identify, understand, and execute upon patterns of success is critical in the pursuit of distinguishing oneself or an enterprise. Committing to 1%. Dave Brailsford basked in the glow of the Olympics. The Great Britain cycling team just completed their participation at the 2012 Olympics in London, England, winning 70% of the medals in men's cycling. Reporters probed with aggressive questioning, wanting to understand the silver bullet that led to this success. The irony? There was no silver bullet. In fact, It was the opposite of a silver bullet. When the Great Britain cycling team, Team Sky, hired coach Dave Brailsford in 2010, the country had never won a Tour de France. In fact, the history of the sport in the country was filled with errors, mishaps, and minimal success. Historically, the team chased fads of success. New equipment, new uniforms, new techniques. But nothing changed the trajectory. Then, Dave Brailsford arrived. Dave Brailsford fanatically talks about the aggregation of marginal gains. This concept means that by marginally improving each and every aspect of a process, the aggregation of those small gains will lead to a large improvement. Brailsford's goal was simple, 1%. He sought a 1% improvement in every aspect of the cycling team. Setting out to improve all aspects of a cycling team, the obvious places to start in are areas like nutrition, bike performance, and physical conditioning. After all, improving every meal by 1% promised a path to continued improvement. However, for Brailsford, those enhancements merely scratched the surface. He set out to improve every aspect by 1%. Not only sports massage, but the gels used for sports massage. Not only the bikes, but the grips on the bikes, and more specifically, the tackiness of the grips. He studied not only the physical conditioning, but also the sleep habits, and more specifically, the pillows used. He focused on every aspect, 1% improvement. It's that simple. In 2012, a short 2 years after Brailsford joined the team, Great Britain won its first Tour de France. Shortly thereafter, the triumph at the Olympics in London occurred. The aggregation of the 1% gains created superior outcomes. The Big Data Revolution. The Big Data Revolution is about accomplishing feats with data that no one believes is possible. The leaders of the Big Data Revolution will embody three characteristics. The ability to suspend disbelief of what is possible, and to create their own definition of possible, an inherent knowledge of pattern recognition, and the insight to apply patterns from one industry or dimension to another that may be seemingly unrelated. Commitment to 1% improvement in every aspect related to data. Combining these seemingly different characteristics and applying them creates possibilities previously undetected. By empowering ourselves with data, and believing we can discover the undiscovered, we can launch businesses and industries to new levels. Throughout this book, we will look at different industries and how they use data to make their impossible possible. This revolution is about finding your possible. Introduction. Storytelling. Stories make for powerful communication, and this book is a compilation of the stories, patterns, and methods that we have seen over the last decade, since we've been focused on this emerging phenomenon, big data. The stories are based on true events, but do not always include actual names, events, or circumstances. These stories are meant to illustrate the challenges and possibilities present with the advent of big data, based on what we have witnessed. Our belief is that such stories provide the best way to learn about how other business leaders both responded to external change, and in some cases caused disruptive change within their respective industries. We hope that they will provide a source of inspiration, courage, and know-how, so that you can embrace big data as a means of inciting a revolution within your organization. Objective. The target audience of this book ranges from the entrepreneur to management in established enterprises, to those who are merely curious about the implications of big data in their own lives. This book is intended to provide ammunition for breaking down the barriers that often exist between those who manage data and those who manage people. Data is the new intellectual property. It can be harnessed for advantage or ignored at peril. For those who would prefer to remain working in silos, where data analysis and decision-making is divorced, This book will make for uncomfortable listening. Organizations that do not manage to utilize their data assets will eventually become extinct. The challenge of improving connectivity between data and behavior, and between machine and human, will require dedicated effort in terms of building human capacity and financial resources. In addition, patience is required while organizations make this transition. For some organizations, it may be necessary to initiate external activities or form partnerships in order to adequately assess the potential value of big data. Unfortunately, many have a vested interest in resisting the data revolution due to their fears about the impact it will have on their own professions. It is likely that such resistance will be futile, and that those who actively embrace the oncoming disruptive change will benefit most from the opportunities offered. Estimates by C.B. Frey and M.A. Osborne, The Future of Employment, suggest that almost half of existing jobs will be at risk of automation due to the technological developments that are currently taking place because of big data and the application of machine learning approaches. While many routine tasks are already being computerized and automated, recent scientific advances suggest that it will be possible to automate an increasing amount of non-routine cognitive tasks, such as accountancy, legal work, technical writing, and many other white-collar occupations. We argue throughout the book that in order to develop strategies for managing organizations in a knowledge-based society, it will be necessary to grab hold of data opportunities before agile, data-savvy competitors pass you by. The transition needed is complex and involves changes to technology, processes, and human behavior. There is no doubt that surviving such disruptive change will be a substantial challenge for many. While there is no magic formula to fit all types and sizes of organizations, we offer a strategy in the form of a roadmap that can be easily tailored to suit each individual organization. Our approach to creating a roadmap for success in the data era is to first explain how other organizations have changed and outsmarted their competitors. The first part of the book presents 9 stories about innovation using data. The second part of the book gathers together the key patterns that we have observed through the stories presented. By distilling these patterns, we offer a broad understanding about how data is being leveraged across a range of different industries. Finally, in the third part of the book, we aim to inspire business managers to lead the revolution by offering a methodology for operationalizing big data approaches that can be adapted for different industries. Outline. Part 1. The Revolution Starts Now. 9 Industries Transforming with Data. Part 1 shares the main stories that will be used to illustrate patterns and concepts throughout the book. While we had hundreds of stories to choose from based on our experiences, we chose the 9 that we think are the most compelling and engaging, and that bring out the best illustration of the patterns that we have seen. The stories can be heard in any order, so we suggest you pick the one that sounds the most interesting, and then work your way through the others. Chapter 1. Transforming Farms with Data. Rob starts with a quick look at the history of farming and the evolution of technology in agriculture. The chapter delves into limitations through the years and how they have been overcome. The majority of the chapter explores how data will continue to transform this seemingly analog industry. As you will hear, many players in this industry have not yet awakened to the impact of data, and they are quickly being passed by, perhaps without even noticing. Chapter 2. Why Doctors Will Have Math Degrees. Historical approaches to medicine, treatments, and wellness are not relevant in the data era. The chapter highlights how many decisions in the medical field today are based on opinions instead of facts, and how this leads to suboptimal outcomes. We also showcase a new set of leaders in medicine who are disrupting traditional industry practices through the use of data. The key implication is that the role and skills of doctors will change in the data era. Chapter 3, Revolutionizing Insurance, Why Actuaries Will Become Data Scientists. The insurance industry is undergoing a fundamental shift based on better collection, access, and usage of data. Underwriting and actuarial services, which are largely about forecasting what might happen, will take a back seat in a world where you can monitor what is actually happening and price accordingly. New business models are emerging, which is disrupting the traditional skills and tools needed to win in insurance. Chapter 4, Personalizing Retail and Fashion. Data can turn traditional, segment-based retailing into a more personal approach. Thousands of individual customers instead of thousands of customers. There is a timeless quote in retail stating, "I know that only half of my marketing is effective. The problem is that I don't know which half is working." Transforming retail, however, is more than just using data to better target clients. It's about using data to transform the role of a retailer and truly serve a customer of one. Chapter 5, Transforming Customer Relationships with Data. Data will increase the intimacy between the firm and the customer. By improving the collection, relevance, and utilization of data about customers, firms will be able to maximize customer satisfaction by processing data about individuals in real time. Rather than responding to issues and problems, data about the locations and preferences of individuals will allow organizations to offer services and solutions to improve their personal experiences and identify challenges ahead of time. Chapter 6, Intelligent Machines. Rob starts with a story about visiting Denmark and his exploration of the wind turbine business. The chapter goes on to discuss how previously unconnected machines are coming to life through connectivity and data. Bringing life to machines may seem futuristic, but there are already many developments that are facilitating the production of machine-readable data that is helping to increase intelligence. The Internet of Things describes the network of such machines and their ability to share information. The Industrial Internet, heralded by General Electric, intelligent wind turbines, the potential of drones, and Tesla's vehicle management system are all examples of how networks of data will revolutionize our world. Chapter 7, Government and Society. Closing the loop between people and government using data has considerable potential. Whereas elections, referendums, and opinion surveys cost substantial amounts of money, social media offers a means of monitoring public opinion, assessing perceptions, and testing and fine-tuning public policy. At the same time, privacy risk is now a major concern in many countries and is delaying data open access initiatives. Finding a reliable way to address these risks through anonymization techniques without degrading the quality of the data will be a challenge. This chapter also explores the potential rewards of using big data for public-private partnerships for delivering socioeconomic benefits. Chapter 8, Corporate Sustainability. Connecting people through the internet and social media has increased awareness about the global supply chain behind many of the services and products that we consume on a daily basis. Faced with the collective responsibility for ensuring sustainable practices, many firms are now seeking to become leaders within their industry and are also reaping the benefits of moving first. Having the confidence to design and implement a corporate sustainability strategy requires the capability to assess the risks associated with future scenarios. Agitation for change is coming from those that have the mandate to make long-term decisions. Chapter 9, Weather and Energy. Forecasting the weather has been and will continue to be a challenge, despite the many scientific advances that have been made in terms of data, models, and techniques. Nevertheless, weather forecasting serves to illustrate how human behavior relates to the task of generating and responding to future scenarios. The close relationship between weather and energy shows how big data will be used to operate power systems.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?